if you're able to, stand up again. And put your hands up. Put your hands down. And sit down. Change. Have we ever been surprised by how someone who you've known for so long and you haven't seen them after a while, they've changed? Raise your hand if you experienced this in your life at one point. Right? Parents, your kids come home from college after the first year. Did they change? Oh yeah, most of them have. They come home after graduation and move back into the house for about 5 years. Have they changed? After, if you're a child and your mother or father lost their spouse, has the survivor changed? Some maybe. This happened to me. After teaching for almost 10 years, I went off to seminary. A lot of my friends stopped talking to me. They say, I changed. And I admit, yeah, I did, probably for the better. But it still hurt. Can you get over it? And to be honest, it was difficult, but nonetheless, it was for the better. It was a compliment after a while that I took it as. Accepting the gospel changes us. There's no way around it. If you truly accept the gospel, it changes you. And for most people in Jesus' time, especially in the hometown, it changed Jesus, but they refused to see it. You see, the people in Nazareth always puzzled me after I read this. It seemed to me that they should be proud of our Lord. No. They probably, after going around healing people and doing all these things, he was famous. He went about sharing a message of grace. I would think in the hometown they would have put up this, you know, giant billboard. Say, here lives a miracle worker, Jesus Christ. Or there would have been the, you know, the, what we call today a ticker tape parade as to coming back into town. Like, you know, when the Red Sox won the World Series the last, like, 10 years, 3 times. Hometown, rabbi, miracle worker. But instead the people hate him. And in another gospel, they try to throw him off a cliff. Remember that one? Yeah. We hear of a fierce, physical, violent opposition to Jesus in the gospel message, to his teachings in Nazareth. This is why he went down the road to Capernaum. The things that they do know, though, in Nazareth are true. Is not this the carpenter? He had to learn from his father, Joseph. Is this not the son of Mary, which we look at during Christmas, we celebrate? Is this not the brother of James? It certainly is. Their knowledge of Jesus was absolutely spot on. But, as we know, it's incomplete. In their stubborn arrogance, the citizens of Nazareth were unwilling to learn about who this new Jesus was, the one that they once knew. The things of it is that Nazareth was not all that far from where Jesus did all his miracles. Here's some examples. Last week we heard about a girl who rose from the dead in the house. Remember? A soldier came up to Jesus. And that happened in Capernaum, only less than 30 miles away. Then Cana, where Jesus turned water into wine, only less than 6 miles away from Nazareth. And yet, when he returns home, he experiences rejection. Obviously, he heard about it at all. But it's stubbornness, arrogance. And today's gospel tells us that Jesus marveled because of their unbelief, because of the rejection of change. It is often hard for us to hear truth from someone that we know, someone that we love. Why is that? Now, before we condemn the Nazarenes, we might take an inventory of our own attitude at times towards learning about Jesus. We can ask, do we take the attitude that Jesus has nothing more to teach us? But be honest with ourselves. During the week, I feel that way at times. It's like, I've read this gospel for the second time in 6 years, and I've got to preach on it again. There's nothing left to talk about. It happens. You're walking down the road. You see the billboard, Jesus, and you're like, oh, dear Lord. We have this attitude at times. Think of some learning that you have questioned or thought of not being of importance. Have you thought about that on a Sunday morning when you're going through the Bible studies at times? Well, today's gospel raises some very hard questions for all people. The Apostle Paul states that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. That's Romans 1:16. But if Paul is right, and this really is the power of God, why does it get under our skin when pastors or others want us to have more of it? If this really is the power of God, why do we at times find it boring? How many times have we prayed to the holy house of the mattress? I don't want to get up in the morning, Sunday morning. Let me sleep in. The fact is that we are not much different than those people in Nazareth. The message that Jesus has for us is still offensive to many people. Two things you don't talk about at a bar or a coffee house. What? Religion and politics. It's offensive to some people. Arguing. The message is still offensive to even Christians at times. How sad it is that many who call themselves Christians are offended by the very teachings of the Christ that they worship. Or claim to worship. The fact of the matter is that faithful people who share God's message regularly experience controversy and or opposition. I challenge you to talk to 5 people this week about Jesus. See how hard it is. How hard is it to open your mouth and say, do you go to church? Do you talk about Jesus? Why don't you come with me next Sunday? It's hard. Especially if you don't normally do it. Imagine if each person here talks to 5 people and maybe one person shows up from each one, each invitation. We wouldn't have enough room. Think about it. But yet, it is so hard for us to do it because the word evangelism is now evil. Evil in the world. Go to Egypt and do it. How sad that is. It offends people. People do not always like what God has to say. This leads to arguments, conflicts, sometimes death. This is also because the gospel often forces us to see the ugliness in each one of us. We realize our sinful nature, and we are forced confront difficult situations in awful, different, difficult ways. It's hard. It's truth. As long as we must live in this sinful world, controversy and opposition would be part of the Christian life. In spite of the world's oppositions, Jesus did not stop offering these gifts, though. You know, he continued to send his disciples out to prepare for the ministry, even though he knew that they would experience rejection and ultimately death. He gave them the authority to bless those who received them, and also the authority to shake off the dust off their feet against those who did not accept it. The Lord did not withhold his gifts because his disciples would experience rejection. And we will also. Even today, Christians are killed in the Middle East, and even here in the United States. Last week, how many churches were burned down in the South? He died for sinners. Jesus offers these gifts, and when he died on the cross, he died for sinners. And since the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that means he died for sinners. He died for them in his time, and he died for us today. He offers his gift to all. He continues to pursue all, even those who rejected him time and time again. Jesus loves you. The gospel. Jesus loves you. Why would you reject that? Why would anybody reject that? It still fathoms me at times, I don't know. He wants you to know about him. Jesus wants you to accept him. Take advantage of his command to love one another just as he loved you. And he loved you that he gave himself up to die for you. Learn about the Savior who delights in giving you the things that are best for you. Learn about the Lord who rose from the dead in order to give you the promise of eternal life. Yes, God's word is divisive to sinners. The Holy Spirit inspired the writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The division is between those who are faithful and those who are opposition, rejection, just like those that Jesus faced in Nazareth. The people rejected God's word because it's about change. Change from somebody who they know, who they once loved, and makes things different. And eventually, the people who rejected God's word arranged to have him killed, nailed to a cross. Though with his death on the cross, he reconciled us to God, giving believers forgiveness and life. Jesus fulfilled the scripture and delivers God's promises to us. And we are among those who say of Jesus, "Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord." And at that moment, we say that. We make somebody upset. That's okay. But the more and more you do it, it gets easier. Are we willing to take on that mission? Can we fulfill the ultimate command to love one another as Christ loves us and share the gospel message? Are we willing to accept our Lord and Savior? So I invite you to do so, and together, let's make the promise and the commitment to learn more about God's gospel message, the word, the truth made flesh, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.